My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
And Nathan Zagura from the Browns Radio Network joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline to talk about this one. Hello, Nathan.
Good morning, mon frere. How are you?
I'm doing real well, brother. I'm doing real, real well. I got some audio to play for you here. I want you to hear this, and I want you to respond. Matthew Caller of Purple Insider. He was on with Jonathan Peterlin last night on overtime, and Nathan, he got some people hitting the panic button over the Browns offense. Owen hit it.
Destroyed him. Yep, totally crushed him. It was a horrible 2 days for Deshaun Watson, for the entire Browns offense. Watson and Winston threw picks left and right. They were getting sacked all the time. In the two-minute drill, nothing happened at all for the Browns offense. It was one-sided for both teams. It was probably as bad of as far as entertainment value practices that you're ever going to see, because the defenses were so much better. I thought Watson looked confused in a lot of ways. I mean, they still completed some passes, but it was 100% one-sided.
Nathan Zagura, I allow you to retort.
It was definitely one-sided with our defense and their offense on the first day of joint practices. Juan Thornhill actually came over and talked to us on Training Camp Insider, which you can get on all the Browns' YouTube channels and all their social channels.
It's you and Gerard, and right? That's the one with you and Gerard?
Yeah,
it looked good. I saw you. Yeah.
You know, we embarrassed them the first day. It was complete and total utter domination. You know, Miles Harden had a pick. And then on day two, he said, you know, I respect the fact they came back and they fought back, and it was, you know, a little more even their offense against our defense. And, you know, it did end in the two-minute drill with Khalif Helassi getting a pick. So our defense definitely got the better of their offense. I would agree with that. Their defense probably overall did get the better of our offense. Was it 100% domination? No, not at all. And I thought it was interesting. Kind of, he's like, well, they did complete some passes. You know, one thing, and I actually, if you listen to the Kevin Stefanski show all along the University Hospitals Cleveland Browns Radio Network last night, I asked Coach, I said, did you guys game plan at all for these joint practices? And he said, no. And then he kind of laughed. He goes, maybe we should have. So Brian Flores' flow defense and what they do up front is significantly different than obviously anything the Browns have seen in our own Jim Schwartz defense, four-man front versus a five-man front, not to mention the way that he organizes his blitzes. And I think that our offensive line had a lot of problems with what they were doing, and Deshaun was definitely under duress a great deal. Now, when he said they're throwing picks left and right, they each threw one pick yesterday, and I don't think either one threw a pick the first day. So that would be a little bit.
So can it be a left and right explanation when there was only one? Wouldn't that be just a left or a right?
Well, and the fact of the matter is Deshaun's was to the left and Jameis's was to the right. So okay. He did say – he made it sound like it was a multiple, but in reality, he was actually factually correct. There was a pick to the left and a pick to the right. But, you know, in the first day, there was one session where Deshaun hit like seven passes in a row, getting it down the field to Jerry Jeudy. I thought Jerry Jeudy had a very nice couple of days. He did have a touchdown from Deshaun in the red zone yesterday. The Browns did score down there multiple times. But, yeah, I think their defense – because of their ability to overwhelm our offensive line and engulf plays in the backfield, that was a problem. And you know, one thing we got to remember is he had one day to make adjustments. Bill Callahan is not here anymore. And I don't know if that would have, you know, perhaps it may have looked a little bit cleaner that second day, but that was really, to me, and that's been kind of my, you know, when we talked last week, that's kind of been my concern right now is the offensive line. And it is the left tackle that is the glaring spot. But it's also, I think, some of the communication, and these are guys. And yesterday, it wasn't like it was DeWand, Teller, Posick, Joel the entire time. You had Javian Cohen in there. You had Zach Zinter in there. And so they were mixing guys around. But the offensive line had a very tough time. And that's something that is going to have to be cleaned up before you take on the pass rush of the Dallas Cowboys in week one. So that is a concern. Was it a bloodbath the way that he described it? No, unless you're talking about the Browns, the and the Vikings, though. I mean, Sam Darnold had very little chance. Myles Garrett, he wrecked Browns practices. I've seen it. He completely wrecked their practice. And
yes,
our corners played well. And let's not forget, our defense did that without 5 of the 11 starters. So Darius didn't participate in any team drills, even though he's back at practice yesterday. Dalvin didn't participate. So that's 2 of your 4 on the starting defensive line. No Jordan Hicks at the second level. No Denzel, no Greg. And we still look great. MJ Emerson, I thought, had a phenomenal 2 days. What great work. Him and Justin Jefferson. To me, that was the most fun part of the whole 2 days, was watching those two battle. And yes, Justin Jefferson is going to score some touchdowns, but at the same time, MJ got a couple of picks. I thought he played very well.
I got to tell you, the way that I hear the bass in your voice, it sounds like you're not ready to hang up the boots yet. It seems like you're ready to meet Matthew Coller in Hell in a Cell.
Come on, baby. That's called a squash match. Let's go.
Nathan Zagura joining us here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. The offensive line, it kind of – I don't like it that you mentioned the offensive line. Not that it's not true, and I can't agree with you. But I think the media – I don't think myself included. I think a lot of people in the media, they don't know what they're looking at when they're looking at offensive line. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say it. And I think that
I think they use
Bill Callahan as a security blanket. I'm like, hey, this offensive line might be terrible this year, and I might have to accept that. But I got to give a chance for another guy to come in. Bill Callahan went to coach with his son. He's a man in his 60s. It wasn't like he was going to be here forever. Let's see what goes on here coming up this season.
No, there's no doubt. And look, I'll be perfectly honest. I didn't know much about offensive line play until I got to go to the learning tree of Joe Thomas, the Hoffman. He kind of broke down everything in a level of detail that blew my mind for a while. It was like you speak in a different language, but then I kind of got what I was able to see. And, you know, really what happened, a lot of it was communication. It was seeing fronts that they had not seen before, seeing blitz packages they had not seen before, and how they adjusted to that. And in case sometimes they were able to pick it up and they had nice plays, and sometimes they were not able to pick it up. So you're right with Bill Callahan. Here's the thing. The guy's, if he's not the greatest offensive line coach of all time, he's certainly in the conversation. And Andy Dickerson is an up-and-coming rising star in the industry, obviously regarded well enough to get offensive coordinator interviews. But he's not going to be Bill Callahan, and it's over. The Bill Callahan ship has sailed. He's in Tennessee, to your point. But I still think our offensive line with Joel and Wyatt and Posick and DeWand, and you're going to get Jed or Jack back hopefully very soon, it's still going to be ultimately a strength of this team. I think that, you know, when this offense can get cooking, and if they can give Deshaun time, when he has had time, I thought he's been incredibly accurate. I think he's made very good decisions with the football. When he's been under duress, and just like any quarterback under duress, they're going to struggle. But that's going to be a key thing this year. And if this line can be, you know, what it has been typically in the past, I think we're going to be a very dangerous offense to go with, I think, a defense that's even better than it was a year ago.
Can you tell a noticeable difference in the actual offense that this team is going to be running?
Yes, definitely. There are concepts in the offense that are different than concepts you had seen before. And so out of the shotgun, for example, you know, there's a lot more in the RPO game where you have the option to hand it off, keep it or throw it, whether it's a backside slant, whether it's a screen to the backside. There are a lot of kind of read and react type situations. The choice routes and the option routes, which give them kind of answers based on the coverage from the defense, that stuff is definitely new, a lot more freedom. And I think our shotgun drop back passing game, you'll see look different. Some different formations, you're going to see a lot more, I think, pre-snap motion. You're not going to see any of that until we actually play the Dallas Cowboys, but you're going to see a lot more meaningful pre-snap motion, not just intended to give information, but also intended to create immediate stress on a defense, confusion, so that they have to communicate very, very quickly. So, yes, you will see some different things, and you'll see a lot of the same things. You'll see a lot of the same at times under the center run game, under the center play action boot game that is, you know, the staple of Kevin Stefanski. And so what you're hoping to get ultimately is kind of the marriage of that kind of under center game with a more modern spread, RPO, mobile quarterback-centric shotgun drop-back passing game.
How do you feel about the plan right now with Deshaun? Yesterday, it seemed like some people were having fun with whether or not he actually knew that he was going to play against Seattle. We had played the clip from Kevin Stefanski on Monday where he had said, Well, that was the plan. So what did you make of that whole back and forth yesterday?
I was a little confused by it. I think that, you know, on some Kevin Stefanski kind of laid out what the plan was, and I think anybody who's kind of followed along with Kevin Stefanski had a pretty good idea that, you know, not much week one, definitely nothing week two with the joint practices, and then the starters, like they did in Kansas City last year, would likely get some work in the final preseason game. So that's kind of what I've expected all along. I think it's good. And, you know, they haven't even talked about it. When they're in this camp, so they are so locked in on the day that they're in, let alone what's happening, you know, 10 days from now, that I think that's probably more the explanation. And I think some of these things are not really even discussed until it's time to be discussed. So I know it was out there. It was a little bit confusing how it was kind of how that press conference, I thought, ended up ultimately going yesterday. But it's going to be fine. And I do hope that we get to see them for a little bit and not much, because these games don't count. And, you know, the NFL, I kind of think, Ken, I want to run this by you. Yeah. They need to bring back Steve Spurrier, because these preseason games are not fun like they were when the old ball coach was scheming and running his complete offense against vanilla defenses and putting up like 50 a game in the preseason. It's a tough watch right now, to be honest. I think it's a – and then, look, they're going to evolve to 18 games. I think we all kind of know that's coming. And I wonder if at some point they're just going to evolve to every game that's played counts, and you're going to have, you know, three joint practice scrimmages in the lead up and away you'll go.
Well, I think that's probably the future. I think that they're probably going to have two or three joint practices where they open up stadiums and have a chance to make money off of it. I mean, they're owners, they're businessmen, they're allowed to do that. But I think they'll get to 18 games. I think that's probably where it'll end. And I think you're right. I do. I mean, I did get to hear the Ramondre Stevenson gem from last night. I didn't know if you had heard it or not, Nathan. I didn't want to set up. I was about to explain. Yeah, so like when he's asked an open-ended question like that, he just thinks it's about Bill Belichick instead of Matthew Judon. That's some good stuff. So I think it kind of gives you a chance to kind of...
And not to mention the guy at the end who's on the Patriots sideline said Judon's gone to a better place.
Yeah.
In Chicago, which I was like, oh, buddy, wow.
He ascended into Atlanta. That's where he's gone.
So to Atlanta, that's right. Chicago, yeah. He's off to a way better place than here, Ramondre. Sorry, you're still here. Yeah, I thought that was wild.
Let me ask you this. Right now, who's the leader for, I guess, third-team quarterback, DTR or Huntley?
I mean, I think that if you're looking at it kind of with an organization-wide perspective, right, DTR is who you want to be that third quarterback, because he's on a rookie contract, and you have him for not just this season on a fifth-round salary, but the next two seasons as well. And I think he feels like, you know, a guy who could be your long-term answer as a backup and somebody who could win games for you when needed, as he did against the Pittsburgh Steelers last year. I'm a big DTR fan. I thought he looked fantastic against the Packers, 14-18, ripping the ball, showing the arm strength, you know, far hash to the opposite sideline, which was a big-time throw to Amarian Brown to set up the Browns touchdown after the touchdown he threw was taken off the board. I like DTR. I think Snoop Huntley's been great. He has been well-received in the organization, the locker room. He's looked very good. It's kind of, honestly, when I watch him, it's dumbfounding to me that he's not still a Baltimore Raven. It kind of fit what they did perfectly and played well for them when given the opportunity. Guy is a Pro Bowler after all. But I think that ultimately, you know, DTR, and then I think the Browns are probably hoping they can do something similar to what they did with Josh Dobbs at the end of, you know, the preseason last year and get an asset for Huntley, because Huntley is certainly one of the best 64 quarterbacks on planet Earth.
Miles Harden, great story. Rookie, South Dakota. How good a chance does he have to make this thing?
I'll tell you what, he's been a great story. Physical, good tackler, really good in zone, great ball skills. As we've seen him, he's picked off two passes this week, one in the joint practice, one in our practice. And they like him a lot. Now, here's the thing with the cornerback room, and this is where it gets dicey. So you've got MJ, Denzel, Greg Newsome, Cam Mitchell, four locks, right? You probably are going to end up with six corners, I would guess. And here's the problem. You got Miles Harden, who you drafted, who's playing very, very well. You got Khalif Halasi, who is also playing very well and is really probably your next best outside corner. Cam Mitchell probably would come in into the slot, but if you're talking about a guy to play on the...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Outside, it would be Khalif Halasi. So, and he was on our 53 all year last year. Signed him right after he was cut by the Chiefs. We kept him, and he's got a ton of fans in this building. So that's six. Then you got Tony Brown, who's not only a solid corner, but is one of the best special teams performers in the league. So now you're at seven. And then there's Justin Hardy. Justin Hardy, Pro Bowler as a special teams player 2 years ago, three-time special teams captain, Cleveland native, and a special teams demon. That's eight. And so there are very difficult decisions that are going to have to be made in that cornerback room as to getting it down to the final 53. I think there are four absolute locks. You know, and the weird thing is, I would think the next four in reality should be locks. But there's no way the Browns can keep eight corners. So that is going to be a real challenge and a real kind of puzzle that they're working on. And, you know, it goes back to your question about DTR. This year, the Browns are going to have to keep three quarterbacks. If DTR is the third quarterback, they're going to have to keep three on the 53, because if you were to cut DTR, he's snapped up like that. There's no doubt. Yeah. So in the future, when you have DTR, you can go into it with just two quarterbacks, you know, Deshaun and DTR, like you did last year, which gives you a spot for a pure special teams guy like a Justin Hardy. So this is it's a tough situation right now that the Browns are in. It's a great one. I mean, how many times have we been trying to figure out how we can get to, you know, 48 NFL players and then claim five that the Patriots cut? That kind of seemed like that was our plan for a while. Now you have way more than 53 NFL players, but tough decisions and are going to have to be made by Andrew Berry.
Nathan, producer Mitch, it's not a tough decision for him. He's going to make his debut, his Browns Stadium debut, Coming up on Saturday, Ken Cartman asked a poll question. Does a preseason game count as a first Browns game for a grown man?
Do you want me to answer that poll before you give your answer, Nathan, or do you want to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay, take it away.
Unfortunately, survey says, no.
86.4% of those polled agree with you.
I mean, the Cleveland Browns, if you were going to a game, and I'd say if it was in, you know, the preseason finale, if you at least got to see it, the starters for a quarter half, it would give a little bit more, but still no. But when you're going to see a Browns game where the outcome is irrelevant and where you are not going to see anybody who's going to be playing on September the 8th against the Dallas Cowboys, you didn't go to a Browns game. Yes, you went to an NFL preseason game, but these are exhibition games, and that doesn't count. Just like if you went to a Cavs exhibition game, that wouldn't be your first Cavs game.
I'll take the answer. I don't know if Mitch will, but I will. Nathan, thank you for the time. I'll see you over at the stadium.
What do you guys think? What do you and Lima think?
You know what? I said yes.
I thought, Nathan, as long as he takes part in either the Muni lot or goes to the warehouse district, maybe even the pit, and at least gets some of the flavor, because you know the Browns fans, they're sickos. They'll be there.
They will be, of course. They're the best fans in the world. It just is not the same. There's no way to match the intensity of what you get. It would be as if you went to, let's say, a WWE house show. That counts because the WWE wisely still does things on some house shows where the outcomes matter. They will change titles. So there is a chance that you can see something that truly has an outcome that matters. But the difference between going to WrestleMania or a pay-per-view and going to a house show, yes, that is different. But like I said, the house show at least has something, the chance of seeing a title change. There is not an outcome that you can see in this preseason game that matters. I mean, I bet I would say in 2 weeks from now, nobody will even be able to tell you what the score of this Minnesota-Cleveland game was. Because it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant.
Nathan, you just gave me an idea. Thank you very much for the time. All the best to you and yours. See you tomorrow.
Hey, I do what I can. Thank you.
That's Matthew Caller of the Purple Insider.
Whose credibility was completely wiped away with Nathan Zagura. Thank goodness we had somebody to come on here and set that outsider straight on what happened yesterday.
Zagura wiped the floor with him, and now Matthew Caller joins us live in studio.
I wasn't even supposed to be here. I was just having breakfast with your boss, and I got thrown in here. I was told I was being attacked on Cleveland radio.
Smart Choice Windows and More Studios is where Matthew Caller appears. Where do you get the pills to say what you said yesterday? It's different when you're in here. When you're in the cage with us, it's different.
Which part are we disputing? That the offense looked
thing. The interceptions left and right. I mean, Nathan's girls was like, well, there was one interception from Deshaun Watson yesterday. So, you know, come clean. What really happened out there yesterday?
Did I go on Cleveland radio the next day after Wednesday's joint practice and talk about how Justin Jefferson was subjected to all the trash talk that he could possibly handle and that he was frustrated by the Browns defense? Because yes, I did. I said all those things, yes.
Yeah, well, the Browns defense was also fantastic. I think I said that. Are we just going to play little sound bites here and be salacious?
Do you think that's what's happening here?
Look bad, we make them sound bad. Yes, welcome.
Jameis Winston did throw numerous interceptions in these practices, and Deshaun Watson did struggle a lot. He took a lot of sacks. This offensive line the Browns have, not so great, but also the pass rushing for the Vikings.
Wait a minute,
really
you got
good.
Guys who are hurt on that offensive line, Matthew.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that this was excuses Cleveland radio, but it was really a good practice for both defenses and the edge rushers for the Vikings. I mean, they've got Dallas Turner's first-round pick. Andrew Van Ginkle's a guy they spent a lot of money on. Those guys had good practice.
He's Dutch. I don't trust him.
And I wouldn't either. He has the same hair color as you. It's just longer. But yeah, no,
I really don't trust him now.
Beautiful locks.
Grown men who are blonde, we can't trust him.
That's myself included. It was a really tough practice to watch if you, there weren't fans there, but if you were just an enjoyer of offensive football, you had a tough time. So I would defend that Deshaun Watson and the Browns offense did not look very good. I would also say the Vikings offense didn't look very good either.
Well, you've been doing this long enough to where, you know, you'd be able to ascertain, you know, where teams are. Normally at this stage, though, defenses are ahead of the offenses, right?
That's the cliche, yeah, usually.
So would you be worried? Matthew Collar joining us from Purple Insider. Would you be worried if you were a Browns fan?
Oh, absolutely, I would be.
Whoa!
So let me back up there. Now, I think Brian Flores' defense, yes, I'm making fun of you about the cliche about defenses ahead of offenses, but we are the midway through August. So I think that's a little more of an early camp cliche. They should look like they're coming along. And Brian Flores' defense is really unique. It's not one that you would ever see in practice. It is complicated. There's a lot of different looks that you can't identify at the line of scrimmage. So even when they play real games, we see opposing teams looking confused, quarterbacks making mistakes, taking sacks. Like, that's why Brian Flores is good at his job, right? And was good as a defensive coach in Miami until the whole thing where they wanted him to tank and he wouldn't do it. But he probably should be a head coach in the NFL. The Vikings are lucky to have him. So it's not surprising for anybody to see a defense that they spent a bunch of money on, a first-round draft pick, and with a really good defensive mind, that the offense for Cleveland would struggle. At the same time, it wasn't very smooth on that side of the ball. And Amari Cooper walked off. I don't know if you guys have an update on his health, but he walked off of practice.
He said he's fine.
Okay, he's fine. All right. Well, but that was one of the reasons I'm sure that they had some issues. But when Deshaun Watson has played the way that he has over the last couple of years, and then we come out here and see him and it's not very good, then I would say, yeah, that's the entire offense is going to be centered around whether he ever becomes Deshaun Watson again. And I didn't see the Houston Texans version of Deshaun Watson at these practices.
Now, obviously, the one thing that we think we're hearing, the offense with overhauling it, with Dorsey coming in, and that it's going to allow him more of a free-flowing state of affairs where Deshaun Watson is going to be able to do what he was able to do in Houston. We hadn't seen a ton of it in Cleveland, which was create plays, create havoc, be able to get out of the pocket and be able to make those huge throws down the field, adding Jerry Jeudy to that and his speed, maybe expand on that vertical passing game. You're not really going to see a lot of that this week, right? That's not really going to be a part of what, I mean, Kevin Stefanski wouldn't even really want to see a ton of that this week. So I know it sounds like a bunch of excuses. I do think when they let it rip against Dallas in week one, we're hoping to see more of that.
The reason I think that both offenses look so bad in these joint practices is because, well, especially on Kevin Stefanski's side, having covered him in Minnesota, and I have a great amount of respect for him, he works everything in the passing game off of the running game. And every coach says they do, but that's not always true. I think Stefanski is really excellent. Play action, making the pass look like the run. Can't really do that in a joint practice. You're kind of just running plays. Because the run plays are just the guy gets the ball and they bounce off. Yeah, and you're not game planning for the Vikings. They didn't watch oodles of film and try to identify all the weak points and everything else. You're just lining them up and trying to run your plays. So I think that when I'm doing a takeaways and the offense doesn't look that great, we have to also be fair and say that it's not like Kevin Stefanski spent the whole week trying to game plan for the Vikings defense and having his quarterback identify all the different tells that might be out there. They're just sort of running plays. It's more of looking back at what Watson has done so far. And then what I see in front of me looks kind of how it's looked with him, where it's a little indecisive. I think when he was in Houston, he had some of that early on in his career, but worked through it. And I just wonder what being away from the game, like what that means to somebody as far as the timing and everything is so synced up in the NFL with footwork and all that. But also, you haven't seen the playmaker that he was in Houston in the same way. And that's hard to see in a joint practice. Is that going to bounce back? Well, I don't really know, because once the pass rusher gets to you, they blow the whistle. He can't dodge a tackler and scramble or make a play on the run and that kind of thing. It's just that I would be concerned if I was on the Cleveland side about him, but also about the offensive line. And I was consuming a little Cleveland sports media content to make sure that I had it right, my takeaways. And most of the reporters that were there on the Cleveland side that were watching their team much closer than me were all saying this offensive line could be a problem because the Vikings were having so much success.
Yeah, but I also accuse my media brethren of not knowing what they're looking at when it comes to the offensive line.
Is that because you're Husky?
Yes.
Okay.
Partially. Mostly.
Then you know offensive line play.
Yeah,
I do. Oh, he's an expert.
Well, he'll stereotype break it down. Yeah. Show to show, he breaks it down all the time.
I do nitty gritty breakdowns. Yeah,
I mean, I do
nitty gritty football.
Yeah, there it is.
Time. So,
they'll launch into it right now. Let's go.
Route down the right sideline. Jordan Reed touchdown and a 4x1 individual ISO slant.
Let's get down to the nitty gritty.
Joe Thomas.
What are you going to do? Yeah, Joe Thomas does voiceover for us.
He's a friend.
Oh,
yeah.
And who would know offensive line better than him?
Does Chris Carter do voiceovers for you guys up in Minnesota? No.
You got me there.
Jack Del Rio?
No. Jack Del Rio?
Joe Thomas follows me on Twitter.
I guess we're just not that special.
He's just going to big time us, huh?
He doesn't follow you guys?
Yeah, he does.
Oh, okay.
Just thought we had something.
Matthew Collar joining us here from Purple Insider. So, no J.J. McCarthy sucks. Wanted to see what he was going to be able to do. And I mean that sincerely. No, yeah. No jokes or anything like that. Do you think it might make it a little easier? Like, when you don't have that guy who could eventually take over, I'm not going to sit there and mince words, but does it make things a little bit easier on Sam Darnold?
Yes. I think
I got a follow-up after this.
No, I think mentally it absolutely does, because if he struggled in week one, guess what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Is it time to go to McCarthy?
Mm-hmm.
And what I didn't expect from J.J. McCarthy, because they all talked about him like he was going to be this game manager. Hey, you could draft Trent Dilfer in the first round and he'll check down for you and you can hand off. That's how the draft analyst made him sound. That was not my observation when he got there. I think he probably gained like 20 pounds of muscle in that time from when he was at Michigan. He was making plays. His arm was really impressive. And then he gets out there in a preseason game, shows all the things we've seen in camp. He looked like a guy who was very close to ready to start in the NFL, which means that if week one was a loss, but Sam Darnold didn't play well, then already we're saying it's probably time to just play J.J. McCarthy. Now Sam Darnold can just play quarterback because they are not benching him for Nick Mullins.
Do you think that they finish with a sub-500 record out of the gate, Minnesota? You do.
Yeah.
So if they do, does J.J. McCarthy and the promise of him in 2025 stop them from drafting a quarterback in the first round this year if the opportunity presents itself?
There's no chance they draft a quarterback next year. They are 100% sold on J.J. McCarthy. And it sounds weird because he's played one preseason game. But having seen the progress that he's made from the time that he got there, the way that he has brought the team around him, the leadership, the arm strength, the playmaking, everything just says franchise quarterback.
And that's without Connor Stallions. Imagine they bring him in next year.
I know. They didn't even have to steal the other team's plays.
Jim Harbaugh did try to get the job up there. Matthew, thank you very much for the time. What's your Twitter account?
At Matthew Collar and purpleinsider.com if you want that Vikings coverage.
There you go. Matthew Collar in the Smart Choice Windows and Doors Studios. Matthew, thank you very much for the time. Enjoy your time here in Cleveland.
Thanks for having me. It's been beautiful.
Absolutely.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.